You're listening to a Diceman Cometh secret episode for Patreon supporters only. Don't tell anyone else about it. We'll do. Maybe tell people who would like to support us on Patreon. Anyway, enjoy the secret episode. Shh.
The Diceman Cometh!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, and good elevensies to you out there. So you eating a scone? Yeah, good to you as well. This is the Dice Men Cometh secret Patreon episode extravaganza with me, your captain, Leon, as I am, joined by my not-so-first mate, Garth.
What?
And,
okay.
And our peg boy, Mark.
What? No pegging being done here.
We'll see how the night takes us. We've already cracked into the drinks and been playing games for a while. Let's see how we go. Of course, everybody out there who is listening to this knows who we are, thankfully, because you're patrons and we love you. And you've come here for all the good Patreon-exclusive mature content funness, as Mark talked about pegging in the first 30 seconds of the episode. He's an absolute fucking disgrace. And there's me throwing in that as well.
Well, it's good that we all could make it together for secret episode number 12. And do you know what that means, Leon? The fact that we've got 12 secret episodes?
I mean, I don't know much, but I'm pretty sure 12 is a year.
Yeah, that's right. This means we've now been doing secret episodes for a year.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
And people haven't conned on to the fact that they're shit.
Like, that's because they're amazing, Mark.
They're the best episodes that we do, I would argue.
They are the best fun, I'd certainly say, that's for sure. But tonight, what are we going to talk about tonight, you might ask, Garth? Well, before you do ask, let me tell you so you don't have to ask it. Well,
that's fantastic.
We've got a couple of questions, just a couple tonight. And then, because we're out of ideas, we just said alphabet. And by alphabet, I mean, let's take half of the alphabet and let's think of some really great games that start with the letters A through M.
Okay.
And talk about those games and why they are so great.
Yes, so you heard us out there, Patreon listeners. Tonight, for your hearing pleasure, we're going to go A to M. For the next hour and a half, we're all about going A to M.
Oh, dear.
So, it's fine.
So just a little bit of history about the alphabet, for those who don't know at home.
Yeah.
There was a time when young Garth was in school.
And he was listening to funky beats like that.
And for some reason, he decided to teach himself the alphabet backwards.
Oh, my goodness.
Oy.
So I did that, and that was cool because, nothing gets, other people really hot for you than being able to say the alphabet the wrong way around.
Or drunk people getting...
Are you going to say it now for us?
Well, like, I can try. I haven't done it for a while.
Okay.
But that's not the story.
Oh, okay.
But it is Z, Y, X, W, V, U, T, S, R, Q, P, L, N, M, L, K, J, I, H, D, F, E, D, C, B, A. The issue is, there was then a period of time when I started to say the alphabet and I'd get to about P or L or something and then go back up to the top. So I'd go A through to somewhere and then back up to the top.
Right.
I couldn't actually... It stopped me being able to say the alphabet, funnily enough. So anyway, I managed to get the best looking girl in school though. So I'm not saying it worked.
Not bad.
Makes great meals too.
She sure knew how to cook some kick-ass pizzas.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Was that what you were doing last weekend?
Making pizzas?
No, getting the best looking girl from school. I was calling you. Don't worry. Let's move on with the episode.
You're an idiot.
Okay. Hey, Mark called himself that on a public episode once.
Oh, you did.
Let's not forget that. That came out of the blue.
What?
He also then
remember that.
He also then honor-rimmed somebody as well.
Oh, yeah. Fun and games. I wonder if this is behind a paywall. We couldn't put this out to the public.
All right, if you don't know already, yes, this episode gets very blue.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
And when we try to give it to people that...
We've got to remember never to release this one as like a bonus episode for Christmas or something.
Yeah.
I think that'd go down
well. Emails telling us how bad we are.
All
right. Can we just get doing what we're here to
do? All right, let us go to the question... That is a question.
Oh, here we go.
From our good friend.
Can I sleep for a little bit?
Midnight Skeptic. Okay, he loves his questions. I do it in my best Midnight Skeptic voice. As I know you enjoy my meandering, I submit the following. I still struggle with the fluidity of the definition of war game. On BGG, the sixth best war game is apparently Root. How is that a war game? Actually, the first game, based on a real war, is number 18 on the list, Memoir 44. The rest are fictional environments. My first question is, what do you consider to be the definition of a war game, and is Root within that definition?
I would say definition of a war game is a game that has player elimination as a result of loss. That's what I would say is a war game. So, for example, yeah, Memoir 44, you lose the thing if your side is defeated. Okay. War of the Ring. You know, the name's in the title there. You lose the thing because you've lost, maybe not the battle, but the war.
Well, Jeremy, in our hobby, war game or war gamer was normally one of two things. It was games that, if you're a normal board gamer or even a hardcore like
what
us...
What is a normal board game?
or what a hardcore like us, a war game is a game you probably have never heard of. And it's a game that probably was really expensive, come with lots of miniatures that you probably had to put together and paint yourself. Or it comes with just a billion different little cardboard chips. And it takes you 10 hours to play. That's what I think when I think of war gamer. As for... in, you know, the general everyday board gamer. That's what I was talking about, Garth. Mm-hmm. So like Root, for example, if that's... Yes, it's not a thing I think of when I think of war game. Normally when you think of war game, you do think of your world wars or your more... not fictitious
wars. Historically
However,
based, yeah.
I guess the best question is, if it's not a... If Root isn't a war game, which is all different sides fighting each other, what is it then? So it kind of has to be a war game because it's a game about warring... things.
It's sort of a conflict. I mean, I know for me, I feel it's a game where conflict is involved between the sides. There can only be one. There can only be one winner
in a game.
But yeah, I think
it's not what you think of.
Yeah, I mean, there's historical war game. Then there's War of the Ring, which is potentially a.
Hey, that's fact, man. That's fact. Gandalf
not
died for
historical
us.
Have you been to New Zealand? It's all there, man. It's a really hard one to define, especially in that hobby, because it's kind of... But then again, if you look at a lot
Surely, though, it is about conflict equals the result.
You would think so, but it's just, it's hard to say, especially when you look at like a BGG ranking type.
Here's the thing, is because we know Midnight Skeptic, he's usually got three parts to his question, so let's go to part two. My second question, what do you consider to be the necessary prerequisites before you can call yourself... a true wargamer? Do you have to have played Advanced Squad Leader rather than Root? Do you wear braces rather than a belt? Must you have a beard, only use a Nokia phone, and call yourself a grognard? Wargaming to me is almost a lifestyle choice. They seem to require so much more investment in time than a Euro game, from learning the rules, game length, appreciating and immersing into the historical context. Are war gamers actually just historians with a gaming problem? And is that what differentiates them from the rest of us?
Well, maybe, but it depends whether or not you're including the simple fundamental basis that all war games are factual. I don't think they are.
No, I think that's, yeah.
Well, I took a sample poll and let's call it the top 10 ranked war games on Board Game Geek. Because number one, Garth, is War of the Ring Second Edition.
Of course it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, number two, and the first thing that came to mind when I think of war games, is Twilight Struggle. Because it's clearly about a war, but it's not about a battle.
No, it's about fake news.
It's about all the other things going on, and there's not much actual fighting, but it's about... for your forces and the enemy forces and back and forth.
But it's Wham, though. You're trying to... not war for the hearts and minds.
Yeah,
in the hearts and
minds. Number three is Paths of Glory, which is the big World War One game.
Yep.
Number four, D-Day at Omaha Beach. Number five, Sekigahara. Number six, Imperial Struggle. Number seven, Here I Stand, 500th Anniversary Edition.
Sorry, is Imperial Struggle the new Twilight Struggle?
Imperial Struggle was the one that was like, was it set in the Civil War?
Yeah, but it's only relatively new, isn't it? Like,
yes. It is quite a new one, yes.
But
that high.
But again, in terms of our hobby, it's a game we've heard of, whereas most of the, again, if we talk to the hardcore war gamers, it's so confusing question.
Root actually comes up as number 15 ranked war game.
Look, I'm going to stick with my definition. Which is that it all comes down to conflict. Winning a conflict results in the winning or losing of a game.
Yeah, look, I think it doesn't have to be historical, but obviously the vast majority of them are.
Well, there's plenty of source material.
That's exactly
Is there not a game you can play with a deck of normal poker cards called War?
Probably.
I'm pretty sure there is.
And what's it good for?
Absolutely that game, I reckon. Mm. But again, if there's a game coming down with a conflict, there's heaps of games have conflict in it. You wouldn't class as war games. It's really, really difficult.
It is.
It is. Except, I'm going to stick to my guns here. It is, if I beat you in a battle, I win the game. Or you're eliminated. Something like that. And one of the things that is, I guess, pertinent in a lot of the games you've mentioned is that there is a percentage of those which are two-player. It is primarily you are playing the goodies or the baddies.
Yes.
From a point of view. You're either playing, Star Wars Rebellion again. You're playing the Rebels or you're playing the Empire. Mm. You're playing...
Is Star Wars Rebellion a war game?
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. When people
Absolutely, it is.
I think what people think of is the people that play Warhammer or Warhammer 40K, but the factual real-life World War One, World War Two, like our friend Nick, who has all that kind of stuff, and he also has a lot of the ancient things, the old, like Mongolian and Celt armies, and I've played games and stuff around them at his place, and they're amazing games. But he also plays them as well as board games and stuff as well. He also doesn't wear suspenders or have a beard, so it's... Again, it's so many different layers to this.
Yeah. But you've still got to pick your day of the week because he may not have pants.
Oh, yeah, I assume so. He very much looks like a pantsless type of man. But
we do have a second question from our friend John.
Even though we didn't really answer that first.
A much simpler question.
I was quite definitive in what a war game is.
Which do you think would lose you more friends? A game of diplomacy or a game of the campaign for North Africa? For those who don't remember, Campaign for North Africa, according to Board Game Geek, takes 60,000 minutes to play, which I think is about 40-odd days.
And the designer never did it. So it's a joke, essentially, because no one's really probably going to do it. And if you choose to play those type of games, either of those two games, I would suggest you're playing them with people that you know you can get through that game with. If you're playing that with randoms you've never met, you're just asking for the horror.
But I think, how many people does that game need to play?
I think it's on Board Game Geek, it said 8 to 10.
Yeah. Eey. So how are you going to find 7 to 9 other people that you know already that are going, I'm just going to take several weeks of annual leave let's just set it up.
7 to 9 best mates that you're going to spend the next 40 days with.
So I dare say that the reality for anyone who has attempted to do this, and I personally don't know of any and I've never checked it, is there's probably going to be some people that you don't know.
Maybe that's what Noah was doing, why he went to sea for 40 days and 40 nights. He was trying to punch it out.
Could be a great game.
Yeah.
Look at those animals. You still got to pick up their shit. I think... In the most basic terms, diplomacy is going to be the one that's going to lose you friends because the whole point of that game is to screw each other over. I'm going to do a thing, Leon, and then I've stabbed you in the back. Mark, you and I, we are best friends, blah, blah, blah.
What's the thing that's on the Wikipedia for diplomacy that some Russian high-level politicians' marriage broke up, and they stated in the divorce that diplomacy, the board game, was the was the one reason why it happened.
Yeah, it's certainly the one that I've heard of that has ended way more friendships than almost any other game. I think Monopoly probably causes more family fights, but in terms of friendships where you don't speak to some people for quite some time, I think it's right up there.
Yeah, there's very much the skill of being
able to leave. Pax Pamir, maybe?
I don't know. Leaving something at the table, which is easy to say, but sometimes it's really hard to do.
Mm.
Yeah, but if it's a really specific thing that you know, like with diplomacy, that, look, what we're doing here is we're going to screw each other over and hate each other. You need to know that. And as you said, sometimes even with that knowledge, it still can be difficult.
It's so hard.
Yeah, it's amazing how many times you know it's going to happen. You expect it. And when it happens, it still just rips your heart out.
Yeah.
So the point is, don't have any friends, play them all solo.
Oy, oy, oy. We're turning into a video game podcast.
Anyway, that's our questions.
Lovely.
Thank you so much for the questions, John and Midnight. Let us take a super quick break, And then we'll come back and start talking Alphabet. Here with the Dice Man Cometh on the secret episode.
The Dice Man Cometh!
Well, after that short break, we thought we might just remind you about our BorderCon competition before we start talking Alphabet, because BorderCon, of course,
starts with B.
And C.
Yes.
And A for Albury, W Ooh. For Wodonga.
But C for most competition.
The most important thing is it's sold out, and you can't get tickets. But yes, you can. You listening can, because all you need to do is send us an email, a video, an audio clip, an image, some sort of communication telling us what game you would like to play with the Dice Men Cometh at BorderCon, because we've got two tickets to that hottest gaming convention in the Southern Hemisphere, where we love to go. We love to spend lots of time with our friends. We love to play lots of games, and we'd like to play that game, yes, that one, with you. And because you're a Patreon contributor, you get bonus entry, so you've got even better chance of winning it.
It's pretty exciting. Although I have to say, Mark, that Albury in winter is not the hottest location.
It certainly is not.
However, the heating at the Hoveltree Inn is exceptional. We've been getting entries left, right and centre, which is great, but we always want more.
Yep.
And we want to be able to allow new people who haven't had the opportunity to get to BorderCon go for maybe the first time, because almost without any exception, you go one time, you want to go back again.
I tell you what, I'm so excited about this BorderCon, mainly because I have two kids under the age of two at home.
That you want to get away
from. That I want to get away from them, of course. But I'm so excited, I'm considering going every day of the convention this year and playing board games.
Yeah. Wow.
I considered doing it last year until I got the plague on the on the night before the final. And then all the other times before that, I believe, was self-inflicted. There must be one where I weren't turned up. There must be one that I've turned up every day.
No,
I've turned up every day. Whether it's been all day is a debatable thing to say, but either way.
You've got to go hard or go home, Leon.
I can't wait. Well, I did last year. I was the last man standing for like three nights in a row until the plague and then didn't turn up the next day. Well,
and it doesn't count.
Anyway, hopefully we'll all stay fit and well.
Yeah.
And we'll hopefully see you there if you haven't been before, because it really is the best little con in gaming. It is just three, four or more games of solid days of solid gaming, such a great bunch of people there. It really, you know, you got nothing else to worry about except playing games. There's food there, there's drinks there, there's beds there.
And what I would suggest, and this is especially to all of our Patreon backers, because there's a sizable percentage of you who are already going, but let your friends know.
Yeah.
Let your family know. Got a loved one who's not going? Ask them to enter. This is the way for anyone who is at all interested in gaming to dip their toes into the board gaming convention scene. And it's perfectly located because it's drivable from Melbourne, it's drivable from Sydney, it's drivable from Canberra. And that takes care of, what, half of Australia's population? Pretty close. So, I mean, if you're listening, there's a fair chance, even though you might already have a ticket, you know someone who doesn't and should enter this competition.
Or if you won this competition like 5 years ago, you could fly from Western Australia over and then find out that your hotel was not booked for you correctly. Oh, they were lovely people, but all the horror that they had to deal with.
Yeah, they were. Now, quick reminder, this competition will close at the end of April. So you've only got two or three more weeks left to enter. As we said, send us an email, a voicemail, an image, an audio file, a movie.
But enough of all this chit-chat. We need to save these lovely little mouths of ours, because it's time to go ATM, boys. Let's get it done. That's right. We're definitely going to go A to M right now. And what we did is we tried to get some games that we don't talk about as much, that are a bit more obscure. We're not going to talk about, you know, when a letter comes up and you think, oh, they're just going to mention their favoritest game again. No, we tried to go a little bit left of center. And also, we're not just going to go one after the other like we normally do. Or at least normal everyday top tens. We're going to snake it around this time just in case.
We're snaking around the ATM, are we?
We're snaking around the ATM.
And the key is Google that. If you don't know, it's a board gaming term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just Google snaking around ATM.
Yeah, and then you'll be fine.
No human centipedes.
No, 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 no. And then obviously, next Patreon episode, which you all can't wait to come out, unless you bank all these up and listen to them, and in which case it's going to happen in about half an hour, we're going to do N to Z.
Hey, and don't Google that one.
No, there's nothing.
Because if you don't know what that means, you don't want to know.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, who should start the list of fun?
Well, I think it's going to be me.
Okay.
Oldest, bestest looking.
And what is this crazy...
tallest goes for.
What is this crazy obscure game no one's ever heard of?
I've got my internet up so I can search it because I'm pretty sure I've never heard this
game. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's going to be obscure and weird.
I did think for a few minutes about making an A to M solely of one designer's board games. And if I was going to do that, I'd probably pick Uwe Rosenberg. And I'd probably start with a little game that has fallen out of favour with many. But I still think it's his best ever. Maybe second best ever. That is Agricola.
Okay.
Designed by Uwe Rosenberg in 2007. The original edition by Z-Man Games. Remember them?
You've gone all the way to the alphabet in one game.
Ranked 45 on Board Game Geek. The revised edition is also ranked 76. So it's in the list top 100 twice. It's so good.
Oh, so you actually are starting with Agricola.
Yes.
Garth, so can you Google that, Garth? Just because I've not heard of that. I don't know. Do you know anything about it?
I thought it was pronounced Agricola.
A lot of people say that Caverna is the better game. I disagree. I much prefer Agricola. Who doesn't like subsistence farming for fun and profit, except without the fun and without the profit? Because it's just a struggle to stay alive, to feed your family. It's much like real life these days in interest rates.
Hang on, we just didn't have one. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, interest rate was amazing.
It's just like one of those rounds where you're like, oh, I've got some bonus food. This time I don't need to feed pumpkin. Them. That's right. Look, I love the struggle of it. It's struggle. It's tough. It's not easy. And, you know, the kids these days, they just got it too easy. They don't know what subsistence farming was really like.
And that's why Caverna doesn't belong on the list for that very reason, which we've definitely never talked about before. So for my A, let's talk about Ark Nova. Ha, 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 ha. No, I'm not going to talk about Ark Nova.
Correct.
Though I bloody well should, because it's a good A game.
Have you guys played that with the expansion yet?
No.
Well, you should. Apparently it adds more time and complication. You should really get that under your belt. That'd be a border conflict, too, sure.
Okay, so I've created multiple games under each letter, including games that I've not played, but I've been told I can't choose those.
Garth,
so
A is for asshole.
I used to play that. That's a card game I used to play in school all the time.
I would argue once we all go through our actual picks, we could do our honourable mention.
I think that's a great idea, Leon. Letter. Give us an actual game, Garth.
An actual game? Well, I'm going to actually talk about Android Netrunner then. Because Android Netrunner is and was still a fantastic two-player battling card game.
The war game.
Ooh, yeah, absolutely.
No, just continue.
Where one side's trying to crack through the defences and the other side is playing the defences. It's awesome. It's a really great strategic two-player game that was really, 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 really popular and then really became not so popular and you know, Shut Up and Sit Down did a video about it maybe, 6-9 months ago, which wasn't about the game. It was about this sort of fan-made, I can't even remember what the name of it was, but just trying to basically say it's still relevant, still really good. And I wrote here Android, thinking, oh, Android, is it a great game? Absolutely not. Is it potentially a really good game? Maybe. But Android Netrunner absolutely is the game that I think deserves my A.
It's going to fill your A-hole.
It's going to absolutely go for your A. It is, however, a game that you don't want... I don't say, you know, you don't want to teach to non-gamers, but it is that game where everything you do in that game has its own special in-universe words. Like, no, you don't have a hand of cards. You have... What's the hand of cards called again? I can't remember. I know there's, like, your discards called the trash and then the things are called the stack.
No game has trash in cards.
No.
No, but it's not... It's a discard pile. It's not the trash. Yes. You know what I mean?
It has its own...
Yep. Which also starts with A. Yeah.
It has its own vernacular. There you go.
Yeah, but look, in saying that, bloody half the games on the wall have a glossary of terms.
Yeah.
If you can find... Because people do sell pretty substantial collections of Android Netrunner. It's cheaper than getting into Magic. And the gameplay is pretty spectacular. Oh, yeah.
If you have a mate that's also into this as much as you, you will have hundreds of really awesome games in front of you. Okay, anyway. My A, what's going to fill in my A? I reckon I'm going to go with the first one on my list here. It is a game that's probably 7 or 8 years old by this point. It's a game that came out and it had four different covers to the box.
So Agricola? No. Agricola, All Creatures Great and Small.
No. It was the exact same game. It just came out with four different pictures on the box. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's a game set underwater.
Aquatica.
No. Although I want to play that. I haven't got around to it. The game I'm talking about is Abyss. Abyss is an awesome game that it's all about set collection and kind of pushing your luck at different types of areas. Puss in your luck. It's like Puss in Boots, but underwater. So all different aspects of it. And the artwork is amazing. The design of it all was really, really good. Hence why
pearls?
There are pearls in it. And there are black pearls in the expansions that you can get as well. But like the expansions add some stuff, but a lot of them you don't particularly need. But this was a game that when it came out, it was huge there for a while and then just kind of disappeared off.
I remember playing that.
We played it at Trent's old house.
Back before Leon was even on the podcast with our old buddy Dave, who used to be our editor. IT guru, and putting our podcast up before we knew how to do it ourselves. And he used to bring along mostly shit games for us to play. And I remember playing that one thinking, this one's okay.
I think it looks exceptional. I think the box art still stands up to this day. Yeah. Basically, each of the boxes is a profile of one of the factions, legions.
Yeah, basically.
It is a very stunning looking game.
Yeah, materials-wise, it looks really good. But the actual game itself is just, it's really simple.
Is it not designed by one of our Brunos?
Yeah, it is a Bruno, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm not going to check.
So that is my A. And my special mentions for A, I've got down here, is Alien Frontier.
Okay.
Which is a game that is good fun. Rolling some dice, set
and a relatively dice. There's a new version that's just come out.
Well, I've had the definitive version for about two years or so now.
Kickstarter board game success that showed big Kickstarter things.
And Awkward Guests, which is a game that replaced Cluedo and actually made it a really good game. And you can play it with, like, I think up to 8 people, and it actually works with up to 8 people as well. Just a shame that the entire color palette is one goddamn colour, so it looks like a prototype.
You've got that, haven't you?
I do.
Can I borrow it?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll play with the family.
Lovely.
Do you want to mention any of your A's, Garth?
Yeah, so there's Ark Nova, which I've already mentioned. There is clearly Azul, but I'm going to save that for Giant Azul. Alchemists, which I know I've talked about before. Look, Arkham Horror the Card Game is one of those ones that, you know, is an exceptional, again, little card game, so much fun. Good for, you know, people like yourself, Mark, who love playing solo games. So,
yes.
But no, I think the only one I'm going to throw in is Anachrony, which I've not played yet.
Yep.
Which is why I'm not allowed to talk about it.
No, you're not. Because that would be ridiculous.
Now, Leon, this snake you talked about, who's it going to bite next?
Well, how about I just go straight away?
Sure. Again?
That's normally how the snakes work.
Now, give us your B snake.
I've got two here for B, and I'm tossing it up between the two because they're both kind of equally obscure. But I'm going to go with one that actually has an IP on it. It's an IP-based game, and it's an IP that I absolutely love and would love to see more stuff. And that is Bloodborne, one of my favourite video games of all time. Bloodborne the Card Game.
Ew.
So Bloodborne the Card Game, anybody out there, is... It's not a re-theming, but it is very, very, very similar to a game called Cutthroat Caverns.
Oh, yes.
So it is a co-op game where you're trying to beat these big old monsters. And since it's from the Bloodborne universe, you've got these amazingly crazy gothic evil monsters to go up against.
Yep.
But you're also trying to be the one that gets the final strike on the boss to give you the extra credits to get the extra bonuses and stuff for it. And that's the person that will win the game at the end of it. The person who does all the killing blows. And there's... It's such a small box, and there's lots of different monsters and stuff that you go after, and all different weapons that you can equip. And I remember at the time thinking, oh, it's an IP that was popular, you know, when it came out.
Mm.
Nearly been a decade now, which is crazy to think. So I didn't think the game would be much, but I actually really, really enjoyed it.
Okay, there you go. And
the board game cost me like $600-$700 and was hence why I sold it and kept the card game, right, though, quite happily.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I remember you got it, and is there not about 5,000 boxes in the Bloodborne game?
The board game. Yeah, there was about 7 or 8 huge boxes, but hence why I got my money back when I sold it. That was lovely.
Excellent.
Well, for me, there's only one B game that I know of invented by Uwe Rosenberg.
Oh God, here we go.
And I'm going to break my normal rule, because this is a game that I have spoken a lot about recently.
Unlike Agricola.
It's just such a good game. And I have been rolling it out with various non-board game friends, and it has never fallen flat. That is Bonanza by Amigo Spieler. Who would believe that it came out in 1997?
Can you press the Bonanza bell on the board over there? Because I'm pretty sure we've talked about it every special episode.
I think it's an underappreciated gem. That's why, Leon, I can't believe it's ranked 500 on Board Game Geek, but it is a very special game. And just that thing about not being able to reorder the cards in your hand just changes it from being what could be an average game to an outstanding negotiation bean-based game.
Of which there it's a whole subgenre.
There you go.
The old bean-based game.
Garth?
Bean-based negotiation. Mm. Honestly, I found B to be a bit of a struggle.
Mm.
Because the games that I like that start with B are ones that we've talked about numerous times.
Mm.
For example, Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about that numerous times. So
Beyond the Sun.
It's also on the list. So the two that we don't talk about repeatedly, I'm going to go with Bot Factory, which I know we've reviewed relatively recently. However, Bot Factory partially by Vital, is just... Jaws of the Lion is the entryway to Gloomhaven, Frosthaven. Mm-hmm. Bot Factory has the ability to turn potential gamers into Vital Lacerda fans, because it shows what these kind of games can be in a third of the time.
Mm.
I think it's a good game. I haven't played it enough to say it's a great game, but I think what it potentially does for his games in terms of accessibility make it exceptional.
Yep.
I love the mechanics. I love that you've only got a couple of basic actions. I love that it's done in under 2 hours, even if you're learning the game. The theme itself is accessible. The box and the components are fine. It continues that really good tradition of his games, which is, the meeples are interesting. The quality is good. It's got this sort of, let's call it a rondel mechanic for the bot bits and pieces. I think more people should play this game, because it could be that transition game between light to medium and then going into medium and heavy.
See, I don't know. I feel like, because I know Vital and the games, I go, oh yeah, I can see the Vital in this, but it plays much quicker. I don't know if I didn't know those games and I played Bot Factory, my immediate thought would be, I'd really like to play something like this that takes 3 times as long and is 3 times as complicated.
Yeah, but if you had someone walk into the game store and say, I've heard about this, but I've never played it.
Mm.
If I was working in the shop, there is no way I would say, yeah, I'll take you $200 to $250 and here's a copy of On Mars, or here's a copy of Lisboa.
Sign up for Lisboa.
Good luck. Because you're just going to ruin this person's experience. Whereas if someone goes in and says, look, I'm after something that's heavy-ish but isn't going to take all day and all night, I think Bot Factory mechanically is simple enough that allows accessibility, but it really does make some challenging decisions you have to do during your turn.
Now, recently there's a YouTube channel that I absolutely love called Board Game Bollocks, which is a UK board game YouTube show, and... Mm-hmm. Recently, he did a top 10 about his pet peeves in gaming. This is a guy, he's been board gaming since like the 80s, I think it is. Mm. It's been around a long time. And I think his number one was gatekeepers in our hobby, which is just something that absolutely sucks. But I believe he specifically shouted out, and the worst of the worst of those in the modern age is Vital Lacerda fans.
Yeah, there you go.
They're just hobby ruiners that are just like, well, this game, Vital, yeah. this game, and if it's not as heavy as those, it's not a real board game. Just funny because it just makes me think of you, that's all. I know you're not like that, I know.
I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great for Vital to be more accessible?
But I just think it's funny, that's all. Because he's a lovely person and his games are really good, but yeah, some of his fans are scumbags. But that's beside the point.
Well, you get that in anything. I know. I would include the 18XX fans.
Oh, yeah.
As a whole other genre because...
Yeah. Well, wargaming fans.
Totally.
Yeah. Very much in there. However, I digress. The only B I have, my honourable mention for B, is a game that I played at a BorderCon many years ago now, sadly. A game called Bunny Kingdom.
Oh, wow.
An awesome, awesome game that... You could argue he's a war game,
I reckon. I remember playing that with you, Leon, in a burger shop. Which also starts with B.
It does.
Yeah, lovely. So, yes, Bunny Kingdom, great game.
It looks amazing on the table.
Yeah.
Like all the little bunny meeples.
Yeah.
Or beeples, whatever they're called.
Yeah, let's go with beeples. I don't think that's at all, but yeah. But yeah, you got these cards, you flip them over, you put bunnies on a field, you score points, everybody wins.
All right. Now we've got a sea snake because it's a letter C.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So who's the sea snake going to bite?
I can't go first because I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay, well, I'm gonna go the double C because I am going to talk about Chronicles of Crime by David Cicurel, not Cicurel, and Lucky Duck Games. And for me, this is the best game with app integration. The crime scene evaluation, where you look around the crime scene for a certain period of time. You've got time pressures involved in your crime solving. You've got your boss back at the station saying, you've got to get it done by this certain time, otherwise you're sacked. You've got the fact that you can ask witnesses and suspects about individual items, which you don't have that freedom in a lot of games. The fact that you've got that interactivity. It's not a perfect game by any means, but... Oh my goodness, for the game that comes closest to your episode of Luther or any of your other Brit crime dramas that I love, this is the game that has me there feeling like, I am Luther. What would I do next, Luther? Luther, I might go and do this. I'd speak with this guy. No, Luther, go and get this gun. Get the gun. Get the bastard. Get him back in the station.
You're so on and so forth.
You're there, Luther, that's right.
Yeah, look, I agree. And, you know, what it does above and beyond the Sherlock Holmes consulting detective is the variability in your suspect's answers, you know? They'll give you one answer, but if you've been somewhere else and then you come back and ask them, they'll give you new information. And that's where the app is absolutely the make or break of this game. And I think it's a great choice.
That, and also it's relatively cheap. And there's about 8 expansions for it now with every kind of theme under the sun. I really still want to play that 80s slasher Scooby-Doo type theme.
Just I still haven't played that myself.
Oh, I did that one with the kids.
Of course you did. Why wouldn't you? although...
Sorry. I love hanging out with my kids.
Best game with app integration? Mansions of Madness, anybody? Come on now.
Alchemists.
Yeah. I played the one before, and yes, it makes it simpler, but it's still effectively the same game.
Meh.
You couldn't do this game without the app because of that way that the suspects interact with the items. Anyway, Leon,
the sea
snake is going to bite you next.
Oh, well, I've got two for this one, but I'm going to go with one that I think is quite funny because anytime a game comes out and is really popular, and then normally it's a few years later, a game will come out saying it's the such and such killer. And then I always find it funny that half the time that's kind of true, but that killer normally ends up going away quite quickly. So the game I have here is Century Spice Road.
Ooh.
But the one I've got is the Golem Edition because it's got the really nice cool gems and stuff. This is a game that came out. It was called the Splendor Killer because Splendor was a game that, and even still now, is quite big in our hobby because it's just the simplicity of it. And the Century series, when this one first came out, oh, God, everyone was excited about it. Because like, yeah, this is very similar to Splendor, except it's got a little bit more to it, but not any more complexity to it. And it's really good. And the components were absolutely spot on. And then knowing the fact that, oh, they're going to bring in another game after this that you can play, you know, in the Century series, or you can mix the two together. And then they're going to bring out a third one that you can play just completely by itself, or you can mix the first and third, or the second and third, all three of them together. The problem being is that they very much led best foot forward in that Century Spice Road was by a mile the best one that they made out of that whole trilogy type thing. And these Gollum editions were just pretty editions with a different theme on them.
Have you known anyone who's ever played all three at once?
I don't know anyone that's played the third one. Because I think, like a lot of people, I bought the second one after liking Spice Road and going, eh. Mm. And then looking at the way you could integrate them together going like, eh, I'd never do that. And then I can't even remember what the third one is. So, no. So that's why it's kind of dropped off, even though it was really big there and people were really excited for a small amount of time.
Garth.
Well, obviously C is a challenging letter for me because...
Give us a couple of your best ones.
You've got Cosmic Encounter.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Cyclades.
Mm. All these games that we never talk about. They were really obscure.
You've got Chinatown.
Oh, for God.
So... You've also got the crew mark.
The
may
crew.
Not have known about this. So I'm going to choose one of the other options. What I'm going to choose is Croconole. Because Croconole is fucking amazing.
No, and it's not.
It is. It's an amazing game.
That's because you're an assassin at it, you bollocks.
Look, these fingers are very dexterous.
Yes.
I have been looking lately at where and how I can purchase a Croconole table.
Yeah.
Because I can just see it in my room. Somewhere going, I should play that with Leon again sometime.
It was an enjoyable experience.
It was amazingly enjoyable.
Mainly because we discovered very, very quickly, wow, for a game that neither of us have ever played, Garth's really good at this. Good on him. And I am fucking terrible at this game, even though I'm a relatively dexterous person. But no, I was not my game at all, but it was very much Garth's game. So it was interesting to watch. And then we played Ricocheted Robox a few hours later. And things out of the old table turn there, didn't it?
Did it ever.
Can't wait to
Anyway. So, look, we've never really talked about Croconole except in potentially our sort of BorderCon recap, which is where Leon and I played it last.
Yeah.
You know, essentially you just, you know, two teams, you're just trying to score some points. That's kind of what you're trying to do. It's, you know, essentially, I guess, a tabletop target where you're trying to get your slidey things into the middle bit to get the most points, and you're trying to knock the other person away to fuck them up. It's a beautiful piece of board gaming stuff to have.
The big board. I was going to say, that's the big barrier to entry is you got to have the board. The board's not cheap.
No.
But
nothing in our hobby is cheap.
No, you're right.
So why wouldn't I buy... Like, I think you can get a Croconole board for, let's say, around 100 to 200 bucks. You know? So yes, it's not cheap, but the vast majority of the games that we are going to buy are probably somewhere approaching $100 up anyway.
Yeah.
This one would be one of those games that you can just keep in your collection and is essentially timeless.
Yeah, it's a centerpiece. It lasts forever. And considering the amount of times I've gone to Kickstarter and spent $500-$600, got to my house and it's gone, what? The two losing players merge, not even play it and then sell it. So it's definitely an investment, but it's a worthy one.
Yeah, so if anyone's got a spare table kicking around, just let me know and I'll give you my address and you can send it to me as a thank you.
What's your runners up in the old C there, Garth? Maybe it's a bit more obscure ones than the ones we talk about every other day?
Honestly, I don't have anything obscure.
Okay.
Like, I've got the crew, I've got code names, I've got CO2. The only one that's there that I haven't played that I really want to is Cthulhu Death May Die.
Oh, yeah.
I did think about Cthulhu Wars as well.
Oh, I'd love to play Cthulhu Wars.
Yes. And again, every so often, although not last year, it does make an appearance in all its glory at BorderCon. It is a sight to behold.
Yeah.
And I would love to play it, but the only time I'm going to do that is BorderCon, and I can't commit to the 5,000 days it's going to take me to play.
So I've got one that it's so obscure... It's a Spiel des Jahres winner, and that is Camel Up. But the reason I'm mentioning it is because when that won, all us collectively went, really? This game? Nah. And then it was probably 5 years later that I played it. For some reason, I just had the idea in my head that I would like to give that a try, and then played it and went, oh, I get it. This is actually really, really good. And I've not actually played it with you guys yet, have I? I've just bigged it up. No, because there are people like us that, like I said, that went just kind of like, meh. But then I actually played it and went, this is really cool.
No, I did play it and I went, meh. No.
Can you imagine gamers in a hobby who just choose not to play like clearly popular games just because of, you know, bloody trying to be stubborn or something.
Yeah, what kind of people would do things like that?
Hey, I'll play anything once, then I'll say meh and never play it again.
Or you'll just leave it.
And is it Camel Up or Camel Cup?
It's Camel Up.
You sure?
No.
Anyway, time to move on from C.
Time to get the D's out,
to get
lads.
The big D.
Oh, gosh, here we go.
Who's going to get the big D first?
Shall I go again?
Go the big D, Leon.
Again, I got two here. One I've talked about more than the other.
Double D.
Yeah, I got two Ds.
I knew you couldn't go that silly with one D.
And one of them is a game that... it's not the greatest game in the world at all, but it's still a game that's in my collection that I do enjoy. Mm. And it is a Dungeons & Dragons themed game called Dungeon Mayhem. This is a game that's kind of like a King of Tokyo style game, but you've got cards in your hand. You're not rolling dice. You're just throwing down cards. And it's as simple as the players on the left or right or whatever take this much damage, or you can block it with shields and things like that.
Like Flam Rouge the Dungeon.
No, it's not as complicated as Flam Rouge.
It's insanely simple and very much luck-based because of the cards that you draw. So don't look into it with too much depth. However...
which also starts with D.
Yeah. However, if you... did get the smaller versions of this game that were just like a couple of, literally like four characters in a tiny little poker-sized box, or you could get a bigger one later that had things like you could play as a beholder or a dragon or a mimic and a gelatinous cube. Mm. So I've got all of them, so I think there's like 12 characters you can pick from. It's so simple. Even though I haven't played it in a couple of years, I'm pretty sure I could learn it in about 30 seconds, whip it out on the table, and then after that we could play this game.
Hey!
Yeah, and it's a game I think we've literally never talked about on the show other than when I reviewed it however many years ago. So it's worth having a look for some good, quick fun.
Well, talk about a game you can whip out onto the table and play in just a few minutes. That is not what the game of Dune is from 1979 or 2019, either version, which are mostly the same. Avalon Hill and Gale Force 9. Gale Force 9 bringing back this classic game, which I love. What better way to spend around the table with six or so friends, including yourself, to strategize and form alliances and break alliances and...
only if the sandworm allows.
Relive the world of Arrakis and that amazing story. I know we reviewed it and we loved it and we have talked about it a couple of times, but it is just one of those games where... the theme just gets you in. You turn into the characters. You can't help it.
Mm.
The way you negotiate back and forth, the way you're very limited in forming alliances. I know. I can't speak highly enough about the game of Dune.
Yeah, I think we should have a Dune day when the second half of the movie Dune comes out. Purely because I hope the night before Leon has the hottest curry of his life and has to again bail because he's got the runs.
Funnily story, I had a curry last night. and I've been holding in some horror as we're sitting here recording this. That's the kind of champion
quick,
I am.
Quick, Garth, move us on. What's your D?
So what's my D? My D is Deus.
Yes.
Which is a civilization game from years and years and years ago.
Yet another game that the last time we played it was around Trent's old house.
Which he still has in his collection.
I think we bought it for him for his birthday or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Before Leon was on the podcast.
I've always wanted to play Deus. I've just never got around to it.
So, yeah, I remember always really liking it the couple of times that it's been played. And it's not been for a long, long, long time.
Yep.
But I also seem to recall that this game, by modern standards, isn't actually that expensive. So, you know, it's got little bits of area control. It's got a little bit of civilization building. It's got, from memory, sort of hex-based maps that sort of expand out and what have you.
With all crinkly edges that sort of lock together.
Yeah,
bit inner resource. Style.
It's got a bit of everything. And I just think it was one of those games that...
it was almost before its time.
Just didn't get appreciated.
Mm.
Yeah, so I would love to revisit that. I remember enjoying it every time that we played it, which admittedly hasn't been for long, but that is my D.
Okay. Well, Leon.
Honourable mention.
Yes.
The D. I've got just the one, which is Deception Murder in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay, yep. Okay.
A game that I love, just the creativity of it. Is it the most amazing game in the world? No, but the stories and the fun you can have with that game, again, haven't played it in a while, could easily put it on the table and just... enjoy.
Yeah, I think it's close, but I don't know. I think it's interesting in the Cluedo style, sort of, you know, figuring stuff out, but it just doesn't have enough of the story.
You need to have the right people to have the right creativity and the way that their brain works, because it can fall a bit flat, sadly, but any game kind of like that, I guess.
Okay, well... Yeah.
What about you?
I was going to drop some E because I didn't have any honourable mentions.
Oh, well, I've got Dead of Winter. I mean, clearly Dead of Winter. Yeah. Diplomacy, which you know, was talked about in one of our questions.
I did think about Descent.
Yeah, well, I wrote Descent.
Second edition.
Yes.
Because no one plays first edition, and apparently no one should play the third edition.
Yeah.
Well, so we've been told. So I look at it because recently I have moved my Descent collection from Trent's house to mine. So I've got Descent, I've got the Labyrinth of Ruin, I've got the Shadows of Nerakul, I've got the Trollfins all over there. And it's like, oh, I've got a big table. I should really just
get
play that
another
again.
Campaign game that we don't have enough time to play.
Don't have enough time.
All right. Leon.
Hello.
Drop some E.
Oh, no, you drop some E first.
Okay, I'll drop my E.
Yep.
Aether Fields. I mean, it's the less popular of the Awakened Realms.
And you've definitely never talked about it.
If you take into account, you know, Tainted Grail Nemesis. But for me, Michael Orach, who's also the designer of that amazing game, This War of Mine, that man knows how to tell a story. It would have to go close to the game that I have spent the most amount of hours on in any game.
Wow.
And yet, Sarah and I have still not finished even the base game and haven't started on the four expansions. but just this weekend we said, should we play a game? And we went, oh, should we play Aether Fields? We just want to keep coming back to it because so many different puzzles that are all very similar but different, that scratch different itches, that have us thinking. It's just, yeah. It's just, you either love it or you hate it. That's for sure. It's one of those games.
Okay.
We love it.
Well, that's great. All right, well, I'm going to go next. We're doing E, yeah?
Mm. Yeah. You do the me.
I'm going to choose Endeavor, Age of Sail. Which the last time I played was at CanCon.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And it was just a really cool exploration game that just looked so beautiful.
I think Tina may have taught us that. Yeah.
I feel like it was a Tina and an Eos and someone else maybe. Okay. Yeah. I remember. So many people I know. But it just... You've got a massive player board. You've got a really cool map that sort of allows you to go and explore in these different sort of regions of whatever part of the world it is. And it's...
The world.
It's just beautiful. And it's a game that I don't think we reviewed when we talked about it at all. And I just... I remember having a really good time with it. I remember thinking I should get this game and then it's never happened. One of those games that if I saw it on the second-hand market at a decent price, I'd probably snaffle it up. Mm. But the problem is in Tassie that most of those happen way in other states that then doubles the cost of shipping. So anyway, Endeavor, Age of Sail is my E.
So my E, so I probably should have mentioned at the start of this that I didn't do any of your Googlings or your BGGs for this list.
Well,
I
you don't have internet where you are, do you?
No, we just have much nicer houses and people. But anyway, so I just went down into my man cave because that's where all my games are.
Sexist.
Yeah, person caves, women are allowed. They probably wouldn't want to go down there with all the kitty litter down there, though. So normally it's me that goes down there and deals with it. So I was just looking at all my shelves, and I haven't got many games that I own in the world of E. And the ones I do own, I have mentioned a couple of times, so I'm not going to spend much on them. One of them is Ex Libris.
Yep.
Game that's cool, building books. Mm-hmm. It's got some humor. It's got some issues. Wish it had expansions, so it's kind of dead now. Mm-hmm. The other one is a game that I've had lots of expansions for. I've bought them all, haven't played any of them yet, and that's Empires of the North.
Yeah, okay.
Both of those games are good. Both of them are not leaving my collection anytime soon, but I've spoken about them a bit. Give them a look.
Empires of the North, I really need to revisit because it's over there somewhere as well in my collection.
Yeah.
I think I actually bought that at CanCon too. No, I didn't. I bought it from LFG on the same weekend.
There you go.
We should probably play it with the expansions and stuff. I know somebody that has them all.
That'd be great. yeah. I think I found E quite a challenging letter. I wrote Earth, which seems to be all the hotness at the moment.
All I can do is turn on YouTube and everyone's talking about it. It's the Terraforming Mars killer. It's the Ark Nova killer.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I had a look at a video and it's talking about dirt, budding and...
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
That's what Terraforming Mars is most of the time anyway.
And then I wrote The Estates. And it pains me a little bit that The Estates is not my choice. But maybe it's because I know it's...
Everdell, perhaps? Again.
No, no way. Everdell is beautiful, but not that great.
Okay. Shall we move on to F?
Finally. I mean, yes.
Yes. Let's do that.
All right, I'm going first because I've got a double F.
Oh, for real?
I have got Flashpoint Fire Rescue because the last probably 6 months, anytime someone says, oh, let's play a game, let's play something we've played before, I've gone, oh, let's play more Flashpoint because I love the co-ops, but I love the variety. You know, you can be fighting a fire in a plane. You can be fighting a fire... in a fire station, you can be fighting a fire in an apartment building. And mostly you lose.
Yeah, it's tricky. Very much so.
It's tricky, but it's fun. You got to work together with your friends. If your friends have got the little painted miniatures like Trent has, it's a lot of fun. He's got all the expansions. I just really, really enjoy it. I can't quite believe it's from 2011.
Mm.
Been around a long time, but I still really enjoy it. And that is Flashpoint Fire Rescue.
Good choices, and yeah, if there are maps there that we've never come close to finishing. All right, so if there's heaps of choices, I'm actually going to choose a game that I've not played because it is a great game. Whether or not it's a great game or not, I'll play it. I'm choosing Freedom the Underground Railroad.
Oh, I've always wanted to play it.
I have not played it either.
So a game where you are essentially playing... as part of the slave trade in America, but on the good side, trying to escape...
the unslave trade.
The underground railroad of trying to get slaves out of their horrible slave situation town, slavery into freedom.
Canada, we call it.
The point is, I remember becoming aware of this game quite possibly when I think Paul... from Shut Up and Sit Down did a review of this game.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a decade. I don't even know. A long, long, long time ago.
A while now. Yeah.
Back when Paul Dean did board game
Correct.
Reviews.
And I just thought, not only does this sound really interesting from a mechanical point of view, but more importantly, I think it's one of those games that I would personally like to have in my collection because it tells a story that is important that is told. So I'll cash in the card or the chip or whatever I have to spend to... you know, allow myself to talk about a game that I've not played. I think it's great because of the subject matter. And it's great that it allows people to experience in a tiny little way what it could be like as part of that overall journey, which is a horrendous part of American history. And it's something that should be talked about.
Yeah, and it's an absolute shame that I think it definitely got like a second reprinting, but even still, that was years ago by this point. Why it's not more widely available? The reason I've not played it is because I think once or twice I've seen it up for like sale in Australia, it's gone within instant.
Yeah, of course.
So otherwise, I would have gotten quite happily. Right, F you say again, kind of in the same category. From the E is the two games I've got here for F. Two games in my collection, but there are two games that we have talked about quite a bit over the years. But the one I think we've probably talked about a little bit less is a game that when it came out, was the hotness for a very, very long time, and that was Five Tribes.
Yes,
it's a game that I still really, really like. And
first one I wrote down in F.
Yep, and it's a game that, even though, again, haven't played it in quite some time, I could put that in the table in front of us right now, and I'm pretty sure I know all the rules to how that game works, which for some games we've played, you know, half an hour ago, I couldn't tell you about that. So I found that always quite impressive. Yes, playing it with people that have AP would be hell on earth, but for people that just like to, you know, look at a really nice-looking game that's fun.
And luckily we don't know anyone with AP, so we're good.
Yeah. And then the other one is Fury of Dracula and all its different pomp and circumstances. It's one versus many. Every version that comes out of it redefines it in some sort of way, but sadly changes some graphic design bits about it, so there's no, like, definitive version of it, which kind of sucks, but it's a game that people can still play today, and it's still good.
I'm yet to play it. Still have not played it.
Well, there you go.
And
something should be done about these.
I owned it. I sold it.
All right. Have we got honorable mentions?
No.
Leon?
Well, that was my two. Were my two.
Guys, Flom Rouge.
Well, yeah.
Furnace.
Funfair.
Nah.
I like Unfair better.
Save it for Unfair. Yeah. I also put Feudum in there, but I can't talk about it because I've already cashed in my...
Can't play
yeah.
on this exact letter.
I've had it for so long.
Yeah. You should learn it and say, guys, come around and play this, and we probably would.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
All right, GGG. Well, maybe I should start with GGG because it's me. I'm G.
You like to think so, yes.
He's the OGG.
I'm the OGGG. Okay.
G, Garth.
Yeah, he should definitely go first and leave some dead air in the Patreon paid for episode.
It's bloody hard. Like, yeah. It's really hard. So...
What's the first one on the list?
That doesn't matter. Because it was the first on the list because it's the highest rated on BGG.
Oh, God. I just do this podcast with computers now, don't I?
Well, that's why I wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Look, I'm not saying Glory to Rome, because we talk about that so many times, I'm not going to say it. So I'm going to talk about a game we never talk about, Grizzled.
It is so damn good, though. But
how do you go past it? Like, yeah. It's really... There's no point talking about Glory to Rome, because no one's got it.
Yeah.
If you've got it, you're not getting rid of it. It's not available in the secondhand market. Really. So the Grizzled, go and buy it.
Yeah.
Buy the base game. Buy the At Your Orders expansion or spend a few extra dollars to get the Armistice edition. You will not regret it. Grizzled, there's my G.
Yeah, it's...
You know you can get it on Steam now?
Mm.
Crazy talk.
Mm.
Marky boy, you got some Gs in there?
Look, I have not the OGG, but the new G version of G. That is Gloomhaven : Jaws of the Lion, has surpassed... Gloomhaven for me is my favourite Gloomhaven game.
I heard an interview from the designer not too long ago.
I was just about to say, if you haven't checked out my interview with Isaac Childress from Cephalofair from our most recent, I think it was episode 352. If I do say so myself, it's not a bad interview.
Did you ask him when he's going to design a good game?
Oh, no, I did not. But I did ask him when he's going to design the Jaws of the Lion version of Frosthaven, because that's what I want to play next after I play me some more Jaws of the Lion Gloomhaven. Because it's just the way that they've simplified it, the way that they've bought the map flippy book, the way that they have simplified it, yet still made it such a fun and interesting game. You know, the fact that they've packed in, what is it, 25 missions in there, but it's still only $50 or $60. Like, what value...
Yes, agreed.
It's a great game.
All of those things are true.
Mm.
Buy it secondhand.
Mm.
But in saying that, firsthand is like $65, $70 on a bad day.
Yeah, for 20, was it 20?
25
players?
Missions, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. It is. It
find
is surprising.
Three friends and just smash it out.
Yeah, just find those friends and you'll be fine.
Leon, what's your G?
I've got two. One is a game based on The Godfather, called The Godfather Corleone's Empire.
This is you still have that?
I do, okay. Because I did really enjoy this. It's a dudes on a map version of Godfather, where you're taking over different boroughs of New York and whatnot.
So was that the re-theme of the Sons of Anarchy?
No. The re-theme of Sons of Anarchy is just a generic gangster, I think, don't even know if it's come out yet, but it was coming out. I think it's just literally called, like, Gangsters. But people probably should play it if it's the re-theme of Sons of Anarchy, because I've gone about it that game before, that's a good old game. And then the other one I've got on here is a game that you two both don't like. It's a game that was quite the hotness back in, like, your Will Wheaton-y tabletop-y type games. It's a game that should take about 20 minutes to play that I once played for about 4 hours.
Oh, God.
You remember this?
Well, I'm going to assume that it's got clear plastic cards.
It certainly does. But I'm talking about a game called Gloom, which, yes, the whole point of this game is that you are trying to be the most unhappy family in this Nightmare Before Christmas, you know, Tim Burton-y type of horror town where horrible things happen. And if you just choose to play this as a game where you just put a card down saying, like, my character got hung and died, that's 3 points to me, it can take 15, 20 minutes and it's done. However,
sounds wonderful.
No. The way you play this...
Just drag it out. Make it take hours.
...is you play it very much like the old stand-up comedians would tell the aristocrats joke. Now, there's something you can Google that we're not going to talk about on here if you want to. The reason why this took 4 hours, because I got together with some of the people at BorderCon, that we knew this was going to take ages because we just wanted to be the most creative nonsense talking that you could. And we were raucous for hours and hours, and people just were coming over to the table going, what on earth are you guys doing laughing your heads off? Just like, we're just playing this gloom stupid game that's only supposed to take 20 minutes because we just come up with the most horrific things possible and then just went on a tangent about them. And much fun was had by all. And for a game that has clear plastic cards that cost about 20 quid,
And there hasn't been many games that include that plastic card stuff. Like, there's a few, was it Mystic Veil or whatever it is?
Yeah.
None of them have done it.
Perfectly or done it very well. I'd argue Canvas is the one that's done it the best so far. Mm. The game we haven't talked about on the normal show, but
we probably passed C, so we can't talk about it.
No.
All right. Well,
hang on.
Honorable mentions.
Oh, good. Yeah. Gallerist. Duh. Galaxy Trucker. Duh. Ghost Stories. Absolutely.
Yeah. Ghost Stories is good.
That's all.
Excellent. Well, I was just going to say, let's take a very quick break, refill our cups, and come back for H2M.
Hey, not H&M?
Whatever.
No, we're going to go to H2M this time.
All right.
You're listening to the Dice Men Come. Of course you are, because you are our Patreon listeners, and you already know that. Back in a minute.
All right, here we are. We're back after our break. Are our cups filled, gentle people?
To the brim.
Wonderful. So we are now...
My cup runneth over.
Halfway through.
Ha.
Well,
having had hilarious...
hijinks?
Sure.
Nailed it.
Which takes us to H or H, which is wrong.
Depending on what school you went to.
I've just noticed that my H is pretty slim.
Yeah, my H's were quite... I've literally got one. I don't even have an honourable mention. Again, only because I looked at my own shelves and didn't really look that closely.
Well, if you've only got one, I'm going to say you should go first.
Okay.
Because if you've only got one, I would hate for Mark to say it. And then you'll be screwed.
Liam's not going to pick my
H. It's a game that I still think is quite popular, but it's a game that we've not really talked about that much, and that is Hive.
Yes.
It's a game that you can keep in your pocket, although it'd be quite a heavy pocket with those big
If you've got Hive Pocket.
Yeah, but who... You don't have the nice...
A pocket
big,
Hive.
I've got Pocket Hive over there.
The big plastic chunky bugs and whatnot, and just a great little game that you can teach anybody of nearly any age.
It's the only time you want chunky bugs
in your pocket. For a two-player game, it's got infinite replayability. Much fun to be had by all.
Well, much like Leon having a little chunky pocket-sized game...
What? We're not talking about Hive.
I... stand here, and here I stand. In particular, here I stand, Wars of the Reformation, by the master Ed Beach and GMT Games. I've played it once, Garth, once in full. I've played it once partially and once in full with you.
That was a great
12 hours it took us.
Oy.
If you have never... It is actually... I already mentioned it earlier in this episode, because it is the number 7th ranked war game on Board Game Geek. But if you ever thought, I love Twilight Struggle,
but I wish it went longer.
I wish it went 3, 4, 5, 10 times as long and had 6 players with 6 different factions that all played very differently, then that is Here I Stand. And my only regret to this day is that I haven't got Virgin Queen, the sequel to the table. In full, I have partially played it.
It doesn't count.
But in full, because it's just... Epic Game Days are for Epic Games, and this is an epic, epic game. And if, you know, replaying the Wars of the Reformation, replaying Martin Luther nailing that tree ties to the church door, and replaying King Henry VIII trying to pump out heirs.
Yep. It was an awesome experience.
So good.
So good. The ending was an anticlimax, but that was everyone's fault. And that's the nature of these games. Epic Game Days, yes, are epic, but it requires everyone to epically read the rules first.
Yes, and epically concentrate.
Which, yeah, exactly.
For 12 hours.
So, look, that's a very good choice. Hive, very good choice. Here I Stand, very good choice. Obviously, we've talked about Hansa Teutonica before.
Yeah.
I wrote it. Is it the best stage game? Absolutely not.
Do you reckon you spelt it right when you wrote it down?
I did.
I was going to ask that question.
I don't reckon you did.
Yeah. Horrified. Horrified is still a great game, and I would choose that over Pandemic all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's on my shelf. Looked at it and went, man, Garth's going to say it.
Yeah. But again, purely because we've already gone to F, where I had Freedom, the Underground Railroad, where should have had Flom Rouge,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to use my H as the new Flom Rouge, which is Heat Pedal to the Metal, which, again, I've not played.
No.
All these games you haven't played, Garth, what are you doing in your spare time?
Playing other games. Playing lots of other games. So Heat Pedal to the Metal is the hottest of the hotness games at the moment, although it's not at the top of the BGG hotness list. But it is... It's just generating that same level of buzz that everyone loved about Flom Rouge. It's a racing game. It's hand management. You're going to have the best laid plans, and then you're going to have these bad cards appear, and you're just going to be screwed, and you're going to go through a corner too fast, and you're going to have engine problems, and you're just not going to win. It has so much potential for me as someone who loves Flom Rouge. Leon, I know you and I are waiting for this secret Peloton edition of Flom Rouge to somehow come out again.
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
If one of us does not have this game within a couple of months, I will be very surprised.
Okay.
I'm not going to buy it.
No, me either.
And neither's Mark. And Garth doesn't buy anything.
No.
Except for booze. He likes to buy booze. I'll give him that.
One of us organised most of the review copies of the games around the table. Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Does anyone have any honourable mentions?
No. I have mentioned them.
Yes, he has.
Okay, well,
I did have Hive on my list, and I'm disappointed we didn't get to talk about it because
you could talk about it now.
It was the best $5 I've spent in a long, long time. When good friend of the show and friend of us, Carl, finally played Splendor and loved it, he then went and bought a secondhand copy from a person on Facebook who was selling Hive Pocket for $5.
Wow,
and I went, I'll give you $5. So I've now got Hive Pocket over there with the pill bug and the other things thrown in as well. I think it'll always belong in my bag when I go away for a weekend somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just so easy.
It's time to pick the eyes out of our list.
Well, the eyes have it.
Leon?
Aye, indeed. Again, a bit slim pickings on the old eye. So I picked a game that we've talked about, not recently though, mind you. It's a game that we're all quite big fans of, and that doesn't happen as much as you would think, because we're contradictory old bastards. And that is Istanbul.
Not Constantinople.
Hey!
No, not Constantinople, because that starts with C, and it's also not a board. It probably is a board game. I'm going to stop saying that right now. I bet it probably is. But Istanbul
the board game or the dice game?
Both are good, to be honest. The dice game I played a few years ago at BorderCon and really enjoyed.
Yeah, Mark and I played. Where did we play it, Mark?
Oh, for fuck.
PAX, maybe? PAX. PAX, you know PAX? You heard of PAX?
I know I won't be going this year, I can assure you that.
Oh, really? I just put in for our media passes, Leon, and I said, is this guy Leon? He may come along. Probably not.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. But yeah, Istanbul, I don't even really know how you would explain the kind of style of game that it is.
Well, don't try.
Okay, I won't.
As a reviewer of board games in the audio medium, definitely don't try.
I've got the big box edition. That's the way to go. It comes with the expansion. The expansions are good. You can add them. You can not. That's how expansions work. Anyway, I'm done. Play Istanbul. It's good. Istanbul, I'll tell you what it is. It's the more advanced version of Five Tribes. And it is the not as advanced version of Yokohama.
Yeah, the little Mancala-y moving around thing. And I must admit, having played Istanbul the Dice Game at PAX, I really enjoyed it. I had never played the Dice Game version, and I don't know if I need to play the non-Dice Game version anymore.
Ooh. Wow. See, I think the Dice version was good, but I actually think it might have been too short.
Yeah,
I think
that's because someone just smashed it out of the marker.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to results.
No.
I don't care enough about your result, Mark.
Mark. Hit me between the eyes with your best shot, Garth.
Oh, I'm going?
Yeah.
Am I? Aye. I want to say Inish just so that Mark can get cranky.
No, because Mark's going to pick that.
Crap.
So I'm going to name one of the few games that I've bothered to foam core insert over there, which I probably talked about the last time we talked about that stuff, which is Imperial Settlers.
Yeah.
But not Empires of the North.
Well, Leon had that.
Yeah.
So I've got it over there. I prefer Imperial Settlers to Empires of the North. I prefer the card game over the little rondel kind of thing of Empires of the North.
I agree.
But I am comparing a game where I have, if not every expansion, very close to every expansion, to a base game.
And it is one of those potentially games we played like three or four times in fairly quick succession because we loved it so much.
Mm. And I, every time, like every bloody time I do these things, I go, I got to play this, I got to play that, I got to play that. All I need is a rich patron or Patreons to allow us to just do this as a full-time gig. Because, oh man, the content we can create.
That's right, stop making
and the games
work.
That we could talk about, because there's a, I don't know about this, Leon, for you, but I've got a wall of games where most of them I only played a couple of times.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've got, I think, three shelves now of games that I haven't played at all, and you probably have just the same. So
crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be innovative
and
talk about innovation, which I love. I'm actually playing it on Board Game Arena right now.
So ugly.
I haven't played it for ages, and it just, every time I play, it just reminds me it's so clever.
So ugly.
The yeah, but who cares what it looks like?
Me.
The gameplay is great.
No, it's
I not. Love that if you play it with two players or you play it with three or play it with four, it's a really different game. Carl Chudik, his glory to Rome goodness. I love innovation. I can't believe now that it is 13 years ago that it came out, 2010. And you know what? I own, I'm not sure if I own the second expansion. I've never even played the expansions because the base game is so good, I don't need to.
I've not played Innovation.
Oh my goodness, Leon.
But I'd go one step further and say I legitimately know nothing about this game. Like, at least games I've not played, I've seen the box for, or I've been told. I don't know anything about Innovation. Oh, I don't even know. It could be a six
Let's have
player,
an innovation
it could
party
be a
at your
six
house.
Player sci-fi war game. I couldn't tell you. I
so,
have
Leon,
no idea. Yep.
If Brown was a game, that's innovation.
Ah.
I would normally say Newton, because no. Newton is Brown the game.
It's Apple.
When you open up when you open up Newton, you go, oh, there's Brown, and there's a different shade of Brown, and oh, look, there's Brown, and
if
that's
Hands
different...
of Teutonica and Awkward Guests had a baby.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So, no, but so Leon, got... innovation is Brown the card game.
How have they not made a version of Awkward Guests that actually has colour in it?
Yeah.
And it would sell so well because that game is so good.
But... Does anyone have any honourable mentions for their eyes?
Inish?
Nah, oh, I was a tough one.
Okay. Jay. I'll go first. Jay, one of my favourite little two-player games. I know I've talked about it in the past. My wife and I took it on our cruise with us. We often take it to the pub with us. Jaipur.
Great little
27th ranked family game in the world.
How can a two-player game be family?
yeah,
it's
I don't
a war
know.
Game,
it's
surely.
Crazy. It's crazy, isn't it? But look, it's just such a neat little game. Just comes in a neat little box. Nothing fancy, but it's just got some great gameplay. The back and forth. Do you want the camels? Do you want the gems? Do you want the tea? Do you want the camels again?
Wow. Those questions. Choices, we all keep ourselves up at night asking ourselves those very same questions.
That's me, Jaipur.
I'll go. I really want to say just one, just because I'm assuming Leon's going to say it.
No, because we've talked about it all the bloody time, because it's the best party game ever.
How many games have you got on your list under J, Leon?
One.
Just one?
Yeah. It's not just one, though, funnily enough.
The one I'm going to choose is Mr. Jack.
Starts with M.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
A and the you can get away with. Mr. Jack, no.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Jack, and it's sort of... simpler cousin, Mr. Jack Pocket. I think it's just a really cool...
Jack Goes to Whitechapel.
Yeah, just look, you're trying to hunt down Jack the Ripper. It's... Was it a tabletop game with Will Wheaton? I feel like maybe or maybe not, I can't remember, but
yeah,
I think so.
I
just remember
becoming
aware of it, going, oh, it just looks like it'll be okay. And then I played it and I had a really good time with it. And I think... It's one of those ones that can just slot into a little collection and it's good for what ails you.
Yeah.
Leon.
Leon,
hello.
What is the just one game that
Which
you've just
one
got
one
on
game
your just
you
list?
Just one got on
it
your
is
list.
Also, I don't know, it's kind of a party game. It's more of a family game. It's a dexterity-based game. It's a game where there's several different versions.
Jenga.
No.
That's a J.
Well,
do you know Jenga is the second most popular game designed by a woman?
Oh, wow.
Ah.
80 million units.
Wow. What's the first?
Monopoly.
Oh, of course, yes.
What's the third?
Jenga second.
Yeah, there you go. But
Jenga Junior.
And each little bit, like, sorry, I know you want to talk about Jenga, but each block is slightly different.
Is it?
Which is why it wobbles, why it's not just a perfect, you know, 3x3 tower.
Huh. I bet a lot of versions they are.
I'd say a lot of rip-off versions.
There's a lot of cheap versions of Jenga out there. But I digress. However, a game I'm about to talk about, also has wooden pieces. Well, in the more expensive version, you can get a cheaper one that has plastic, which is just as good of a game, but it's not as real. What I'm talking about is a game called Junk Art.
Uh-huh.
Very, very simple dexterity game, but lovely big old chunky wooden pieces of various different circles and squares and hexagons and triangles and stuff. And you've got all these different missions in the book. I think there's a dozen or more. And when you play the game, you pick out certain ones of them, and each round is like, right, this round we're going to try and build it up in a certain way and get certain colours and or certain shapes on other ones, whereas other rounds you've just got to... It's hard for me to explain. But
really? Sounds like Japan Highway.
Tokyo Highway.
That doesn't start with J.
It is a dexterity game where there's lots of cool stuff moving around. You're throwing bits around the table and there's fun to be had by all.
There you go.
And yes, absolutely the wooden version is the way to go.
Oh yeah, of course.
Any special mentions of J?
Oh, there's just one mention.
Well, considering Garth didn't even have one because he used an M instead of a J, no, there's not heaps, I'm afraid.
There's not.
Okay. I'm putting John Company in there.
Oh, I really want to try that. I mean, look, I don't listen to much of what they say, but the Board Game Barbecue seem to rave about it. It's almost their, like, equivalent of all the games that we talk about week after week after week. It gets a mention every week on their show. I'm curious to try it, I must admit.
Yes. It feels like someone designed a game and then goes, what name should we have?
Yeah.
John Company?
Maybe I can try it at Bordercon.
Maybe. Or PAX.
Yes. Okay. So, we are almost done. We are up to K.
We're in the final three letters.
Yeah. The K.
Yes, Mark.
K. When I think of first? When I think of the letter K, I think of two other letters.
Oh, really?
D and M.
Yes.
Because KDM.
Thank God, I thought it was two more Ks.
Kingdom Death Monster. Now, declaration. I've never played the physical game of Kingdom Death Monster, but boy, I have been having some crazy fun playing Kingdom Death Monster on Tabletop Simulator. Or Tabletopia, which one is it?
Tabletop Simulator.
Tabletop Simulator with those aforementioned barbecueites, particularly Adrian, Jules, and Connor, have introduced us, Garth and I, to this game, and I'm having an absolute ball.
Mm.
We are in stitches when we're playing it because, you know, you can sneak up behind a lion and fist it in the butt, and it's all part of the game. It's a strategy, in fact.
It is, yeah. Attacking things from behind is a viable strategy.
It's very different to Gloomhaven. It's very different to Descent. It's a lot of fun. It's crazy, grim, dark. Got some really weird, freaky stuff where, you know, you zig instead of zag and all of a sudden your arm gets cut off or your head gets cut off.
Did all of us die last game?
We had a total party kill in the last game. Yep. But our tribe didn't die. We're still going.
Fun little fact about this game. Mm-hmm. We did, I think it was a while ago, where we talked about games that we would absolutely love to play. And this was one of the games that I mentioned on my list. And then it was a couple of months later, on this very show, you guys said, oh, we've been playing that with the Board Game Barbecue guys. I was like, oh, that's fucking nice to know. Well.
You were busy.
Was I now?
Yeah,
if I had a baby.
If I was asked, I could probably tell you if I was busy or not, but I wasn't, so I'll just fucking see myself out, shall I?
Just let us know when you get internet out in that bloody, the sticks that you call home.
Oh, shut up.
Anyway, it's a lot of fun.
It is.
Try it sometime, Leon.
I have zero desire to own this game.
Yeah. I did look into it.
Why is it so expensive?
I saw someone was selling the 1.0 version.
Which is not the one to have.
That's right. And it was still selling for over $500. And everyone was like, nah, don't buy that. You got to buy the 1.5 version.
But is it like like when I said before about, like, you know, your Unk or your Bloodborne, the board game, those boxes were humongous and had huge minis and stuff in them. Why is this game so expensive?
It does have big mega minis.
The minis are huge. But what I didn't realize...
And you have
to
actually put them all together.
What I didn't realize when I said I will never buy this game, which I still continue to say I'm never going to buy it, is I didn't realize all the other stuff that is in the game. I just thought it was basically just a Rock'em Sock'em Robots, you know. I'm on a board, I'm trying to kill a thing and that's it. There is so much more
books
to this
books
game.
Books and books and decks of cards.
And the settlement side of it is... It's massively important in this game. And you do have this multi-generational civilization that you are trying to start with a few nameless people and get into a sort of a thriving civilization. So I can see why people love it.
I think also, you know, imagine Gloomhaven... But imagine they didn't do what they did, the clever thing of making all the monsters standees, and they made them all minis.
Yep.
And then imagine that they didn't do another release for a couple of years, and they waited till it got really, really rare and really expensive. Then they did another limited release where they put even more stuff in, so it was even more expensive.
Yeah.
You can see just how these things get more and more expensive and more rare, because they're harder to get. Everyone wants them, you know... Think of Glory to Rome, but think of $1,000 worth of plastic in it. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just... And I love that we've discovered it on Tabletop Simulator, and it's very playable there. We're playing it with people on the other side of Australia.
Yep. But I can't imagine opening up Tabletop Simulator going, let's just figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because you need, and thankfully we've got, particularly Jules and Adrian, who are the ones who know this game and play the physical version inside and out, but they just go, do this, and it just, it allows us to just sit back and enjoy the experience, because otherwise it would be hell on.
And how many times do we go, how do I do this again?
Yeah.
And they just talk us through, you should find some friends like that.
I was going to say, it must be lovely to have friends.
It is good.
But sadly, I'm stuck playing board games with you. Oh, I'm not allowed to say that word, am I? Right, okay, just continue on. What are we looking at?
We are looking at K.
You and Mitch could always talk about solo games.
What do you got in your K?
What I got in my K, again, bit of slim pickings around the old K, but it's boring because I've talked about it before and it's a game I really like, but it's Kemet. Kemet is great. Terms of dudes on a map, it's got an awesome theme. Mm-hmm. It's a good game. It plays well at pretty much nearly any number player count.
Who would have ever thought of the idea of using D4s as pyramids?
Yeah, I know.
Great idea.
New version that apparently does pretty much everything better, at least rules-wise. Some of the visual aspects, I would argue, don't look quite as cool, but there you go.
I don't like it.
And sadly, I've got it, but haven't played the new version yet, because that's just the way life is at the moment.
Well, friends.
Yes.
Again,
Garth?
Garth?
I'm actually going to say Kites. Time to Fly.
Wow.
Yeah, sure.
Which is a game that I have had for precisely Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 5 days.
Yeah.
And when I say I have had it, we as the Dice Men have had it.
You've had our version.
Correct. very graciously provided by Good Games, and we will talk about it on a future episode. Mm. All I can say is real-time cooperative kite flying.
Mm.
Who'd have thunk it?
It is... awesome.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm choosing it is because if I didn't, every other K game we've talked to death about.
Yeah.
No, that's but also, it's an awesomely fun game.
Yeah. So I've got Kingmaker by our good friend Alan Cheshire. Great little...
Kingmaker, Kingdom of Air.
Kingdom of Air.
Air.
Yep. Hang on, have we heard Mark's choice before you go into Honourable Mentions?
This little game called Kingdom Death.
I wasn't listening.
No, not
really. Yeah, all right, cool.
Kingdom Builder.
Yeah, Kingdom Builder was a good one.
Domino.
That was big for a bit. Yeah, King Domino. Is it Queen Domino?
Was the first one.
So Queen Domino... added
second
more
one.
Stuff
yeah.
and is better, I think, in every way. So I've been told.
Yeah, but that's a type of K.
And then I would have said Kingsburg, but Alien Frontiers is better. And the new version of Kingsburg looks horrendous, hence why it came out and pretty much sold no copies and then went away, as you do.
There you go. Okay.
And Man EV.
Oh, yeah. So
Crass
we're up to.
Crascariot. K2.
Never mentioned any of these games before.
Far out.
Can we move on now?
Is that Cain with a K or Cain with a C?
L. Ooh.
That's my letter.
Ooh, yes, it is, Leon.
Yes.
My birthday the other day. This is how I get treated.
Alpha Leon.
Alpha Leon. Leon, hit us with your L.
Miel. So, I'm not going to mention luchador Mexican wrestling dice. But I just did. Ha! I didn't.
Hey, busted.
Yes. Lords of Vegas.
Yeah.
Lords of Vegas is that Monopoly killing awesome game. It's got paper money, but it's got fun paper money. You're throwing, there's dice, you do stuff with dice, you're building up stuff, you gamble. Fun to be had by all.
Mm.
Getting the expansions shipped to Australia is a bit of a palaver, apparently, but here you are, but it's happening.
Better now. Originally was not going to happen.
No. So
thankfully it is now happening.
So fun and or games. It is good, and now it's good that there's lots of versions of it out there to get.
Okay. Well, for me, I have a game. I don't think either of you have played this game, can you believe it or not? But you will soon, because my Kickstarter version is not far away, and that is La Granja.
Aha, the bean game. La Granja,
the farming game that's not about beans.
What are you farming then?
Just
granjas?
The new grandkids, yeah, La Grandkids. The new version, the new deluxe version, the new deluxe giant version on Kickstarter. That I played this game once at, was it CanCon or was it BorderCon? No, it was
your backyard.
LFG Sydney. The OG LFG in Sydney. Good friend Norkel taught it to me, the multi-use card. And I just thought, oh, I really like this. I must play it again someday. And never played it again. And then when I saw it was on Kickstarter, I thought, oh, this is a really pretty version. And now I'm like, should I really have backed this? But I'm going to have to play it at least once, Leon, before I get rid of it.
Correct.
Because it is a very smart new version. That is La Granja. La Granja.
Garth, what are you doing?
I can't pronounce it.
What are you doing with my letter apart from butchering it like Mark?
Well, on Thursday night, I went to a friend's house to play games with, who I haven't played games with this person in yonks. Mm. Haven't been to that person's place. Trent came along for the ride, and that was okay. But what we did play was Last Will.
Oh,
and it just made me go, what a fucking really cool game. And there are no games that have sprung to mind since playing it that do the same thing as Last Will, which is essentially, it's all about, was it Brewster's Millions?
Brewster's Millions, yes.
You're just trying to spend all your money, go broke, end up with nothing, be completely destitute. And it's amazing the psychology of that being your goal, because all this game is about efficiency. It's about maximizing how much money you can spend each turn to have the end result being, I've got no money.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the same thing that we do in so many other games, which is I'm trying to turn something into a lot of other things. We're just doing the exact same thing in reverse, but it feels so remarkably different. It was taught really well, I must say, because I hadn't looked at it. And it was funny, Mark, because you put up a little Facebook memory of yourself, me,
Trent and Carl.
Trent and Carl, yeah, the good old... Oh, yeah, where were you, Leon?
Oh, fuck. Probably sitting home going,
we were at the New Sydney, believe it or not. Back in those days when we used to go to the New Sydney and play games, sometimes before the podcast, sometimes just for playing games.
7 years ago, and we were playing it on the downstairs floor of the New Sydney in the public view. Last Will was what we were playing.
Yeah, I've never played it.
And it is really, really cool.
Been told I'd love it.
Yeah, I think you would, because... Mm. What I think you would like about it, Leon, is that it allows you to pretty much have your turns planned out.
Ooh.
With just enough fuckery to go, oh, I was going to do the thing and I can't do the thing anymore.
Yep.
Each turn in itself is not complicated. They're all really easy. And it's very simple to see who wins and who loses. And we played a couple of expansions, including the very special promotional cards for good friends of ours, Terry and Merrin.
Were,
you know, Terry on the down low got all these cards made that fit the game perfectly so that when he and Merrin played it, it led up to his proposal to her.
Yeah, amazing.
which is a phenomenal story. So yes, there's a Merrin card, there's an engagement card, a wedding card, all of those things that are in there as part of the game. Exceptional. So I'm in a one. So that was good. But it was really cool. And it has made me think about the fact that I can't recall having experience like that. And that's good. That's what I want in game.
You'd love it, Leon.
Yeah. We'll
tag have we all him done? Have we'll we all done our L's now?
Yeah, we'll tag him in the memory in another 7 years time.
Lovely. That's okay. Oh, I'll be dead by then.
Have we got any honourable mentions?
Don't say L's, Leon.
No.
No, I don't.
No Lisboa, no Lorenzo Il Magnifico.
Libertalia.
Yeah.
But again, I think I spoke about it recently. Some Libertalia. It's good stuff.
There you go.
Lorenzo's bloody good.
Oh yeah.
Is that the other game I've been told I'd be?
That's the Grand Con. That's the Grand Austria Hotel of not Grand Austria Hotels.
Ah.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Lucky last. When I say lucky last, it doesn't start with L. It starts with It's Mark. And I've gone, Mark, you magnificent man. Mechs and Minions. Now, why did I go Mechs and Minions, you ask?
Well, I hope you're saying Mechs versus Minions, because that's the actual name of the game.
Is it?
Yeah.
So readily available for everyone to just get their
hands. So cheap for a party game.
It's so funny, because I thought, it's been a long time since I've looked. Maybe I'll jump online and see if there happens to be a copy around. I mean, you still can't buy it from the people who make it.
No.
They stopped after their 3 print runs. God knows why, because it was just selling out. But, you know, I guess they had this little thing called League of Legends that was making them squillions of dollars.
Yeah.
And they didn't really care about board games anymore.
They don't really care about there money, was a those copy, people, because they've got that much of it.
There was a copy on Amazon for $386.
I was going to say, take the US out of it. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
If you can get it for under 200, it's just jump on it. Oh, it's such a bargain.
Look, the crazy thing is, when did we play it? BorderCon with our good friend Richard, and he had it. And we smashed out about 4 scenarios in a row. It was just like, go again, go again, go again.
I spent half the time up in the top right-hand corner of the board, I think.
Just running into the wall.
Yep.
Dunk.
Program movement for you.
Say, like, you know, the program movement, the lovely little minis, the tiles, the scenarios, the secret envelopes, all that stuff. It's got so much going for it. I can't believe.
Well, when money isn't an option and you want to go, how about we make the best components in board gaming history and charge a reasonable price for it? Because, hey, even if we break even on every copy, what do we care? Because we're squillionaires. Got to appreciate that.
Well, the boxes are, it must be pushing a meter long. Like, it feels like it's a massive box from memory, and everything is that beautiful sort of game trade.
Anyway, if anyone out there has a copy of Mechs versus Minions they want to get rid of, and they're not asking an arm and a leg, you know, remember us in your will, maybe. Leon.
Hello.
What is your M&M moment?
My M&M? So I've got 2, and I don't think Garth has either, so I'm going to mention them both right now. Machi Koro,
because
it was and still is the Monopoly killer. I recently played... I had some friends around, fuck yous, that weren't you two.
I probably only stayed for like 2 minutes.
No, we got 2 games out of these people before the baby did its baby thing. We played Machi Koro 2, which I've had for ages.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because, well, it's an even more streamlined version of Machi Koro that was not hard to begin with, and it just means you don't really need the expansions, and a few rules it adds to it just makes it even better.
I did see it in my friendly local gaming store just around the corner from where I work, and I was like, maybe I should pick it up.
Yeah, you absolutely should, and like, I don't think I've ever seen a copy for this for like more than, say, $50 is like maximum you would buy it for. So Machi Koro 2, you can get it for, you know, your $30-$40.
Wow.
Absolutely do what I would say. It's a good one. But the one I'm going for is a game it's very much underrated that I think a lot more people should have played. And it's a shame that we didn't get any more expansions or anything, because it's a second edition of this came out about 6 or so years ago. And I was hoping it was kind of going to take off, but... because of the game, you'll see why in a second. And that's Mission Red Planet.
Yes.
Great little area control. This is the original and better Terraforming Mars. I mean, it's not even remote. The game's not, really not. Apart from the fact that Mars is in the title, that's where it ends. But it's area control. Everyone has the same hand of cards.
This
I think
is
it's
the
like,
other Bruno, isn't it? Bruno Fiduti?
Yeah, it's like 1 to 9 numbered cards in your hand. Yeah. Everyone's got exactly the same. So if you know you play a certain card, other people don't, you know, well, they've got theirs still in their back pocket to play later. Awesome little spacemen exploring mini things. Yep.
And a round board.
Yeah, and a round board. And just all the components of this is just really nice production. Much fun to be had by all.
I think we played that in your old house.
Yeah, we would have done.
Yeah, that's yeah, definitely.
That's at least more than 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Garth,
probably the last
have you got
time
some M&Ms?
Well, yes, because M seems to be one of those letters where lots of the games are super alliterative, like Mechs versus Minions, Mansions of Madness. And I guess my pick, Merchants and Marauders.
Yes.
Merchants and Marauders is an exceptional and...
one of the best pirate games.
Probably still my favourite pirate game that actually captures the essence of being a pirate. That's it. Like, it's better than Maracaibo, which also starts with M, and it's about being privateer. And it's better than Francis Drake. Very different to Francis Drake, I guess.
Francis Drake doesn't start with M, though, you see.
Well,
but then again,
Drake does.
You know, Mr. Jack doesn't start with a J, so fucking who knows by this point.
So, yeah, Merchants and Marauders is... if you're after a pirate game, this is the one for you, in my humble opinion.
A pirate memory game?
Correct.
But it's not the simplest game in the world.
No, it's not. But being pirates was not simple, man. Like, it's not like you just wake up and there's a boat and you go and... or a ship even, and you just go and take the gold and then you go back home.
Pretty
that's not
sure
simple.
That's what you did as a pirate.
Well, there's a bit of fighting in there.
Oh, yeah, we'll get
you probably got to go to the toilet. Like, there's
I
all
do,
this
actually,
other stuff.
To be perfectly honest, I very much do.
So, yeah, look, Merchants and Marauders is so much fun. Every time I've had this game on the table, I've had a wonderful time. Yes, it's not short, but bloody hell, look at the games that we've chosen.
Yeah.
A lot of games are not short. So that's my choice. In terms of honourable mentions, obviously, yes, Mansions of Madness. Marco Polo.
Yeah. We've really got to...
leave me hanging.
We've really got
sorry,
to play...
Marco.
Polo.
Yeah, anyway.
We've really got to play the second one of that. Marco Polo 2.
Oh, yes. Marco Polo Polo.
Yes, Polo Polo.
More Marco Polo.
Micro Macro.
Yes, Micro Macro. Great stuff.
That's all I wrote.
And that's all she wrote.
Hey!
Because we've come to the end of the list. We've come all the way to the M from the A. We made it. I wasn't sure for there for a while, but we've got a few good games here. Even a couple we have well,
at least 13.
Even a couple that we haven't mentioned. So we hope you enjoyed that. We certainly did.
I want to know what we missed. I want to know what we cocked up, what didn't appear on the list.
Sure
it was just this glaring omission. Because
yeah, I mean, some like you said, some letters like A and C have
so many.
Many, and others. I mean, you know, I want to know what's your J, what's your E?
Yeah, Garth, what's your J?
What's your J?
What is my J? Well, my J was Mr. Jack, which apparently Jack doesn't start with J anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Mr. certainly doesn't. Anyway, that is the end of Secret Episode number 12. A reminder about the BorderCon competition. And as Garth said, if you're already going, well, good for you. We'll see you there. But think about your friends.
Yes. Think about your friends. When was the last time you actually thought about them?
Yeah.
When was the last time you two thought about your friends? When he's yelling in front of you, that's the only time.
Oh, dear. And look, thank you so much again for all your support. We love that you support us, that you allow us to sit here and ramble on for a good, I don't know, an hour 45 or so.
He knows I need to go to the toilet, doesn't he? He's doing this on purpose.
Yes.
Because he's not my friend. We've established that.
Look, I don't think I've got anything more to say. Jens, do you have anything more to say?
Yeah, only a sort of 35, 40 minutes worth of stuff.
Oh, I'm going to die.
All right, Leon.
Yeah.
This is your life.
Worse than that, I tell you.
Anyway, we'll be back soon. We are the Dice Men Cometh. We love you all. We love doing this, and we love life.
Bye.
Dead Lou. Dice
Men Cometh. I said Lou.
I did say Lou.
Let me out.